here today. And so I want to read just from God's word in Luke chapter 1, actually Luke chapter 2. I'm going to ask you just to stand just briefly just for the reading of God's word if you're able to. It's our custom here at the Bridge. If you're not comfortable, it's okay. We don't put any pressure on anybody. But Luke chapter 2, very powerful passage of scripture that I believe will really kind of crystallize and conclude this series that we've been in. If you missed any part of this series, I would encourage you to go to our website or our YouTube channel, Facebook. All the messages from previous weeks are up there. But Luke chapter 2 really kind of chronicles the birth of Christ Jesus. And I want to read that for a moment. But the main scripture that I want to lean into is found in verses 25 through 35. But just to give some context, so that way you can say without a shadow of a doubt, you came to church and you heard the Christmas story. Right? Luke chapter 2, here's what it says. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family line of David. Verse 5 says, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came. Everybody say, the time came. Can I let some of y'all know the time has come for you to begin to experience the greatness that God has for your life today? The time has come. I hear God saying to some of you, you've been dealing with this thing for too long. Time has come for you to be free. The time has come for you to walk in the fullness that God has for your life. Come on, do you believe that? The time came for her to give birth. And then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Here's our main scripture, verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace, as you promised. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation." His mother Mary, indeed this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel and to be a sign, everybody say sign, that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I'm going to go back to verse 28. Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace as you promised, for my eyes have seen your salvation." And I want to preach from this theme and thought on this Christmas Eve and give us a word of encouragement. I want you to tell the person that you're standing next to, say, "Hey neighbor, I got a word for you. I want you to know it. Hope is here." Come on, find somebody else across the room. Say, "Hey neighbor across the way, I got some good news for you. Hope is here." Come on, can you clap your hands if you believe in the goodness of our God? Father, we thank you for your word. We believe in faith that this Christmas season is one where we recognize what you've done for us in Christ. Hope is here is not just something we say. It is something that you produced. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Amen. You can take your seat. Hope is here. We called this series Hope is Here for the past few weeks that we've been in, and I thought it would be fitting that we end our sermon series for these past few Sundays that we've been in the scriptures looking at what God has to say about the birth of Christ pertaining to hope. I thought it would be fitting to call this message to end this series, the title of our sermon series, Hope is Here. When I think about hope, church family and online family and those who are here for the first time, one of the things that I think about that accompanies the Christmas season is the waiting period that comes with the Christmas season. The waiting period leading up to the day that we celebrate the arrival, or as some would say, the advent, which means the coming of Christ. But if we could be honest, One of the greatest frustrations is waiting on something. One of the greatest tension points that I believe many of us deal with is waiting on something. Matter of fact, I'm willing to believe not many of us have the gift of patience. When you were in line doing your last minute shopping, looking at the clock, people moving slow as ever. When am I going to get to the register? Matter of fact, for some of us, when you think about this season and when it comes to waiting, if you're like me, one of the things that's most frustrating is waiting for things to happen when you want them to happen. But can I let you know this, family, that when you're waiting, do you know one of the greatest gifts that you can experience when it comes to waiting? It's really not just getting any type of gift. I want to personally say that the greatest experience that I have with waiting for something and experiencing the fulfillment of waiting for something is when I get the notification from Amazon that my package is on the way. I don't know about y'all, maybe it's just me, but I get excited when I check the Amazon app and it says out for delivery. And let me tell y'all something, there's nothing more exciting and fulfilling than when you see the Amazon truck rolling down your streets. And when that Amazon driver hops out of the Amazon Prime van and truck, and when you see him or her delivering the package that you've been waiting on to your, I don't know about y'all, I get excited. Get excited. Matter of fact, I recently ordered a gift, and I ordered a gift for Ariel, and I had to intercept it because I didn't want her to, you know, she get nosy when it comes to some gifts, you know, even though it'll say to Edwin Jones, she's like, oh, it's my husband, let me go ahead and open it up. So I had to get real strategic, and so I happened to see an Amazon truck coming down our neighborhood, and I was like, I bet you he got the package in there. I'm going to sit right here and wait for him. And sure enough, he was pulling up, and I said, he said, I got you, I got you. And he hopped out of the van, and it was like the heavens opened, and I heard angels proclaiming how good God is, and as he handed me the package and the gift that I ordered for the family. But family, how many of y'all have ever been in a place where it felt like your waiting was in vain? Where it felt like you were waiting and waiting and waiting. I don't know if you've ever been like texting somebody, and maybe for some of you who have, iPhones specifically, and I don't know if Android has this feature or not because I don't have that, so. I used to have it, and then I saw the lights, and the Lord led me to green pastures and still waters. But y'all, can I let y'all know, some of the most frustrating things is when you text somebody, and then you see them texting back, and just the bubbles pop up, and a message never comes. It's like, what are you doing? Anybody ever had that happen? It's like the waiting, the suspense. You feel suspended. Because you're waiting. And when I think about the Christmas season and the Christmas story and the birth and the arrival of Jesus and Simeon specifically and even Mary and Joseph, they found themselves in a place of waiting. They found themselves in this unique place of having to endure and to be patient and to have to persevere. And here in this passage in Luke chapter 2 verses 25 through 35, it's immediately following the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, which we read about earlier in Luke chapter 2 verses 1 through 8, when the Bible says when the time had came, Mary had given birth. Can you imagine for a moment what that journey to Bethlehem was like? Mary, 9 months pregnant, more than likely riding a donkey. How uncomfortable that would have been. Can you imagine maybe her and Joseph having some bickering? Joseph, why didn't you get the extra blankets? It's uncomfortable, Joe. Bae, I tried to. No, you did not. She's just, can you imagine the tension moment? The Bible don't tell us, but I imagine. We've had 3 kids, and I know there's been moments. Some tension arised as the due date became clear. But they're waiting. They're waiting, and the Bible says, and the time came, and she gave birth to Jesus. And the Bible says there was no room in the manger, so there was no room in the inn, and so they found themselves in a manger, and he was wrapped in cloth. And so now some days have gone by since the arrival and since the birth of Jesus, which leads us here to Luke chapter 2, verse 25, because now the scene shifts to a guy by the name of Simeon. Everybody say Simeon. Simeon, the Bible tells us, is a devout man. He's a righteous man. He loves God. He's been obedient. Doesn't mean he's perfect, but he's been faithful. He's been trusting God. And Simeon, the Bible helps us to see, has spent a good amount of time in his life waiting on God to come through on his word that Israel and also the whole world would be saved. Matter of fact, in verse 25, it says, this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation. Some of your translations says he was waiting. Everybody say waiting. He was waiting. Waiting for God to fulfill what he promised to do, which was to send the Messiah and the Savior of the world and of humanity to save people from their sins. But during this waiting process, the people, as well as Simeon, the people during this time found themselves living in a difficult time. People, in many ways, say it like this, were walking in darkness. They were walking through some dark moments. Many years have gone by since God had promised the Messiah would come, and some have begun to lose hope. Some have begun to go off and do their own thing. Some have begun to take matters into their own hands. Life for many people, family, was hard. Even enduring some life situations was hard. And Simeon has been waiting on the Messiah for years. I don't know if you've ever found yourself waiting on something for a long period of time. And you kept waiting and waiting. And the Bible helps us to see here that Simeon had a revelation from God that he would not die until the Messiah had come. Can you imagine the length of time Simeon had been waiting for this to happen? Most scholars and theologians believe that Simeon may have more than likely been in his latter years of life, in his 60s, 70s, maybe even 80s. That's a long time to be waiting on something that you may have believed you would see early on. People found themselves, like Simeon, in a place of darkness. Matter of fact, early in the book of Luke chapter 2, when Jesus was born, the Bible says, and shepherds were in a field at nighttime. Whenever you see words like night in the scripture, you always have to go back to the original understanding of what night represents. Night represents darkness. It represents people being a place where they can't see themselves and see their way through. I don't know if you've ever been there before, where you've been walking through life and you couldn't see your way through something. You couldn't make sense out of things. Some of y'all are there right now. You're in this place right now, and you're here at church, and you're online, and you find yourself in this dark place where it feels like you're walking through a fog, and it feels like you can't see your way through. You're waiting, 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 waiting for something to change. Some of you are here, and you've been praying prayer after prayer after prayer, and it seems like they continue to go unanswered, which makes you wonder and ask whether or not they've even been heard by God. Some of you have been waiting for things to get better, and year after year, they have progressively gotten worse. Some of you have thought a situation would get better, but it has not gotten better. And some of you are waiting for a resolution to some of the struggles in your life, but yet the struggles continue to persist. Some of you are living with an expectation, but no progress is being made, and it feels like you're going backwards. Have y'all ever been here, by a show of hands, been in a place where you were waiting, and it seemed like nothing got better? Seems like you keep showing up to work and nothing changes. Keep doing the chores at home and nothing gets better. You keep trying to show love to this person and yet they keep continuing to return it with spite. You keep trying to walk in grace towards people, but they continue to return the favor by stabbing you in the back. Many of us are in a place where we're waiting right now. The Advent and the Christmas season is a season that's marked with waiting. Yes, we sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. But before the Lord had come, there was a lot of waiting going on. It's a lot of enduring going on. And some of you are here and you're living with this expectation, and the expectation hasn't been met. And it feels like you've been delayed. And it's delayed. And you've gotten to the point now where delay feels like denial. Some of y'all have heard this saying, delay does not mean denial. But if I could be honest, there's some moments in your life where delay does feel like denial. Where the more and more you're hoping things would get better and things don't get better at all, it feels like you've been denied something. But I want to encourage some of you in here today who feel like you're in this place of waiting and like things have not gotten better. I want to encourage you with this, that no matter how long you've been in a place of waiting and in a place of expectation, here is the good news. I said it Sunday and I'm going to say it again. God has not forgotten about you. I want you to know, no matter how long you've been waiting, no matter how long you've been patient, no matter how long you've been enduring, I'm here to let you know, not only has God not forgotten about you, God has not left you by yourself. You might be asking, why is this important to know, Pastor Edwin? Because how did Simeon wait so long and have hope so long in spite of all that he went through? That's the question I was wrestling with even as I was reading this last night. This is a long time for Simeon to wait. Simeon, how can you wait for so long when nothing appears to be moving? How can you continue to wait year after year, day after day, week after week, month after month? And the only thing that I could come to the conclusion of is that Simeon had this understanding. He believed that God would fulfill exactly what he said he would do. That's the only reason you can continue to show up. That's the only reason you can continue to trust God, is because at some point you believe that God would fulfill what he promised. He had a hope that endured through some stuff. He had a hope that was anchored not in the conditions of the world, but in the character of his God. When I think about this, I think about the book of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. It says this: we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. What is the writer of Hebrews talking about? He's talking about Jesus. We have a hope in Jesus. And this hope in Jesus is an anchor for the soul. I love that, because when I think about an anchor, if you've ever been in a boat before, and when a boat is moving all over the place, in order to keep the boat from moving past the place where it needs to be, somebody will throw down an anchor to bring some stability to that boat, even in the midst of the rough waters and the rough waves and the winds that's blowing on the outside. Can I let you know, we got an anchor in hope, and his name is Jesus Christ. I'm here to let you know that Jesus will anchor you through some stuff. There's hope in Jesus. It's an anchor for the soul. Some of you have been tossed and turned by the winds and waves of life. Some of you, your life has been up and down all this month. You hear everybody singing, "We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year." And you're like, it's just going to be another year. Some of you are like, man, I don't care anything about all these Christmas movies on Hallmark, which they show 24/7. I don't care anything about Elf and Santa Claus 1, 2, and 3. I don't care anything about Miracle on 34. I need a miracle in my life. And that's where some of you are today. Can I let you know that there is a hope, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the anchor. He is the one who will keep you grounded. He is the one who will anchor your soul in the midst of everything that you're going through. Let me say it like this. Hope is here. That when Jesus was born, it was an announcement from heaven to say, hope is no longer on the way. Hope is here. And I don't know about you, but that gives me encouragement, because when we're going through hardships and when we're going through life, the enemy will try to convince you that everything that you're going through, it means it's the end of the world and that you'll never recover from this and that things will never get better. But can I let you know that when your hope is rooted in Jesus Christ, when your hope is anchored to Jesus Christ, no matter how it might look right now, he has a strange way of turning things out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We're anchored. And there's some things about the hope of Jesus that we see here in this text that I want us to understand. Number one is this, that this hope of Jesus, number one, is available. I don't know if you've been Christmas shopping throughout the course of this week and maybe over the course of this month. One of the most frustrating things to experience is when you go to the store expecting to get a certain gift, believing that it's there, only for you to find out they're sold out. Anybody had that happen in the past 24 hours? Anybody ever had the most frustrating thing happen where it was showing up, they said they had it in stock online, and then you show up and it's all gone? That may or may not have happened to me recently. Can I let you know something? The hope of Jesus is always available. It never runs out. You never have to worry about it selling out at all. You never have to worry about it ever running out. No, this hope of Jesus is available to you, and it's available for you to possess in your own life. How do we see this? Because when we look at Simeon's life, family, The Bible records some interesting events around Simeon's life. It's found in verse 27. Here's what the Bible says. That's so powerful. It says, guided by the Spirit, Simeon, he entered the temple. Temple was the place where he would do his priestly duties. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law, pause. Simeon entered the temple. The parents with Jesus entered the temple at the same time. Simeon just happened to be going into the temple at a certain day, at a certain time. And then Mary and Joseph happened to be going to the temple to circumcise Jesus at a certain day, at a certain time. Can I let you know that that's not happening by coincidence at all? Divine providence of God to let us know that God will meet you exactly where you are to give you the hope that you need to be able to make it through whatever you are going through. I'm here to let you know that this service tonight wasn't by accident that you showed up. It wasn't an accident that you saw a video online. It wasn't an accident that somebody gave you an invite card. No, that was the hand of God working in your life, using all the different things that are happening in your life, good and bad, to create not a divine service, but a divine appointment for you to have an encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So that way you can know that not only is hope on the way, but in Christ Jesus, hope is here. It is available to you. I like what Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 through 7 says. Many of us know this scripture. You've heard it maybe on the radio. You've seen it in scripture. You've seen it in church different ways. I love this scripture because in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, here's what it says. We got it on the screen. It says that unto us a child is born. For a child will be born for us, and a son will be given to us. To us. Can I let you know he's available? Can I let you know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he's available to you, that you don't have to walk through life by yourself. This is why David says in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because your presence is with me. I don't know if you've ever been through some dark moments in your life, but if you're like me and you've been through some dark moments in your life, when you begin to look back over those dark moments in your life, you recognize you weren't going through those dark moments in your life by yourself. No, you had the great I Am on the inside with you. No, you had the presence of God with you. No, you had the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Great Shepherd with you. I'm here to let you know hope is here. Hope is available. He wants you to receive it. He wants you to experience it. I love this because what we see in Simeon's life is the hope in Jesus Christ. We see the Spirit of God orchestrating this divine meetup with Simeon and Jesus. Matter of fact, I want you to write this down, that the hope of Jesus can meet you wherever you are. I'm going to say it again because I don't know if you got it. On this Christmas Eve, I want you to know that the hope of Jesus can meet you wherever you are. I don't care if you were just in the doctor's room and you got a diagnosis that you did not expect. I'm here to let you know hope is right there with you, and his name is Jesus. It doesn't matter right now if you have been battling depression and anxiety and you're dealing with abandonment, that the people who said they will always be there for you have turned their back on you. I'm here to let you know hope is available to you. God is meeting you right where you are, never to leave you, never to forsake you. He does not get ghost on you when things get hard. No, he meets you exactly right where you are. Hope is available. But not only is hope available, y'all, but hope is also personal. The hope of Jesus is available to us, but it's also personal. Pastor, how do you get this? Because look at what happens in the text in verse 28. The Bible says that when Simeon had this encounter with Mary and Joseph and little baby Jesus, the Bible says that Simeon grabbed hold of baby Jesus, and he's literally holding him in his arms. I find that to be fascinating. I find that to be incredible that he's holding the Savior in his arms. When I think about this, you know, I was thinking about, man, you know, we don't got no babies no more. Our babies are grown. They're older, rather. And some people be like, don't you just want to have a baby? No. The grace is lifted, and there are gifts from God, but we have reached our capacity, I believe, in Jesus' name. But I will gladly babysit your baby. I will gladly pray over your child. I'll gladly be Uncle Edwin and whoever else, and will return him or her to you. but every now and then, we got baby Jeremiah right here, and look at baby Jeremiah. Can you imagine baby Jeremiah? Hey, baby Jeremiah, say what's up. Jeremiah, like, what's going on here? Yeah. Can you imagine Simeon? Simeon holding the baby. And in his hands is the fulfilled promise of God. I think what's interesting about this is he's holding baby Jesus, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's holding the very one who created him. And the reason why this is personal, Jesus says, I love you so much that I created you, and to show you how much I want to be close to you, I'm willing to allow you to carry me, to show that I've been carrying you all along. Can you imagine in this moment? Let's see if Jeremiah cooperates. He's in this moment right here. Yeah. You don't like that. I'm a little rusty with my baby skills. It's been a few years. But can you imagine? Can you imagine Simeon? He's been waiting years for this. And as he's feeling his hand touch his beard, the one who gave him a beard, and he's feeling his little hands touch his face. This is the promise of God fulfilled. Hope is personal. Can I let you know that Jesus wants to have a personal relationship with you? Matter of fact, if I were to build a whole message around that one point, I would say, and I would call it, it's personal. It's personal with Jesus. He didn't just come down just to come down. No, he came down because he wanted to be with you. He came down because he loves you more than you could ever imagine. He came down because he wanted to save you and rescue you from your sin. He came down on purpose. And just as baby Jeremiah is eyeing all of you and has his eye on you, Jesus also has his eye on you. It's personal. Unto us a child is given. Unto us a son is born. And we'll call him Emmanuel, God with us, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. I don't know about y'all, but I get excited about the fact when I think about my Savior, what's a personal, come on, maybe you don't get excited about that, but when I think about all the stuff that I've done and how God still wants relationship with me, my soul gets excited. When I think about how many mistakes I've made, but God still forgives me and he still loves me and he still has a plan for me. And I just want to know, is there anybody here tonight on a Christmas Eve that can celebrate the fact that God still wants relationship with you? I'm going to tell you how you know Jeremiah is called to preach. He ain't even flinching right now. He's comfortable. Just as Simeon prayed over him, we lay hands on him. Can I let you know this? God has his hand on you. Navigating, directing, shaping, covering your life. You good? You comfortable? I'm going to give you back to your mommy. Can y'all make some noise for baby Jeremiah? Thank you, Carl. When you hold a baby, you know, you start feeling something on the inside. You feel all warm. Don't get it twisted. There is no kiss here. Do not get it twisted. But I believe it was intentional that God came in the form of a baby. Not as a grown man, but as a baby. So you can experience closeness. The creator being held by the creation. It's personal. Somebody say it's personal.
It's personal.
And because it's personal, it's also transformational. The hope of Jesus is not just available in personal, It's transformational, meaning this, it transforms our lives. Which is what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that any person who is now in Christ is a new creature. The old has passed and the new has come. Can I let you know this, that when you tap into the hope named Jesus Christ, your life will never be the same. I don't care how your life used to look. When Jesus steps in your life has changed and transformed. And what God has been trying to get some of us to experience is this hope. I hear God saying to some of you, aren't you tired of your life being the same way that it's always been? Aren't you ready for a transformation and a breakthrough? Aren't you ready for some healing? Aren't you ready to overcome some of the struggles that have had the best of you for your whole life? And I hear him say, just let me in. Let the King of Glory, the hope of the world, enter in. It transforms. And here's the last thing. Not only is it transformational, but this hope of Jesus is eternal. Because when we look at what Simeon is talking about here to his parents, to Mary, and to Joseph, he tells them that he will cause baby Jesus, eventually becoming grown Jesus, will cause the rise and the fall of many. Here's what he was ultimately talking about. He was talking about the sacrifice that he would make by giving his life as a ransom for the sins of the world. Can I let you know that Jesus was born to die? That Christmas is not about the gifts under the tree. It's about the gift who was coming to hang on the tree. That just as these lights are hanging on this tree, Jesus, the light of the world, came to hang on the tree to help you and I to experience eternal life. And that life doesn't just start when you and I die. It can start now. I love this, y'all, because the eternal hope of Jesus means this, that no matter what circumstances I face, I can still have hope. This is different than the hope of culture, because hope of culture is based upon how good things are going in life and how great circumstances are. But where do you turn when circumstances are not going the way that you want them? And where do you turn when life isn't going the way that you want to? When people begin to get fickle on you and turn their back on you, I'm here to let you know that there is a hope, and his name is Jesus Christ. And you can have this hope no matter the season that you find yourself in. 2 days from now, everybody will go to business as usual. After December 25th, after we watch all the football games and after all the food is eaten and after all the gifts are exchanged and all that, and on Thursday, December the 26th, when everybody's returning the gifts that they did not, that they got, that they did not want, it's like the world has moved on. That's a hope that's temporary. But for us who know Jesus and have Jesus, our hope is not based upon a season. Our hope, write this down, is based upon a Savior. And that Savior is eternal. And that Savior never runs out. I'm here to let you know, I want to close with this, I'm here to let you know that no matter the season of life that you find yourself in, no matter if it's February, it can still be Christmas in February. No matter if it's June, it can still be Christmas in June. No matter if it's July, it can still be Christmas. Why? Because the hope of this season is not based upon this season, it's based upon a Savior. And I just want to know, is there anybody glad about the fact that we got a Savior who does not change? He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He does not change with the days and the seasons. No, he stays the same. Because Jesus is not only the hope of the world, he wants to be the hope of your world. And some of you are here and you're watching online and you're in this place and you came in here filled with hopelessness. I'm here to let you know that in Jesus, you can walk out of here filled with hope. Hope in the midst of the diagnosis you didn't plan to get. Hope in the midst of losing the job right before this season. Hope in the midst of family fractures. Hope in the midst of having to pay for stuff you didn't account for. And you're like, I don't know where I'm gonna get it from. I'm here to let you know that in Jesus Christ, not only is hope on the way, hope is here. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're in this place right now and you're filled with hopelessness, You came in here struggling. If you're honest, you would say, Pastor, my hope meter is real low right now. Can I let you know this, that Jesus, the hope of the world, wants to fill you with hope. And tonight, that can all happen for you. And it's just as simple as receiving Jesus, just as Simeon received him. He's inviting you to receive him as well. So if you're here tonight with every head bowed and every eye closed, and you're saying, I need Jesus, the hope of the world, I don't want you to leave this place hopeless. I want you to leave this place filled with hope. So if this is you and you can say, Pastor, I need this hope. I'm struggling. I'm struggling right now. I'm hurting. I need hope. Hope is here, and his name is Jesus. So if you want this hope, on the count of three, you want to receive Jesus. You want to be close to him as he wants to be close to you. On the count of three, I want you to shoot up your hand. One, two, three. Wherever you are, just raise your hand. Lift up your hand. If you're here tonight, amen. I see your hands. Amen. Amen. Come on, wherever you are, shoot up your hand. No matter what your age is, this is for you as well. If you're a teenager, if you're a kid, I want you to know that Jesus came for you. Mary was not some grown adult. No, she was a teenager. So wherever you are, shoot up your hand. Wherever you are, if you're online, this is for you as well. For every hand lifted in this place, I want you to say these words after me. It's a prayer of faith, asking Jesus to save us and to come into our hearts. Say these words, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. I receive your grace, I receive your forgiveness, and I receive your hope. In your name I pray, and every person said amen. Come on, can we celebrate right now those who have new, I saw some hands go up today.